WMAL News at 7, I'm Barbara Britt. Beltway delays can be expected today in Montgomery County with resurfacing on the Beltway over Kensington Parkway. Charlie Gischler with Maryland State Highway.
We're always going to have a lane open there. It's just it's a triple lane closure, but as you can imagine, with all that traffic there, even on the weekends, you know, at a beautiful weekend at that, Father's Day. So, you know, I would definitely plan around that.
Gischler says everything should be reopened by 5 tonight or earlier if possible. WMAL traffic is coming up. The D.C. officer who shot and killed an unarmed man on a motorcycle back in 2016 will be fired, says Metropolitan Police. Officer Brian Traynor, who is white, shot 31-year-old Terrence Sterling, who is black, after Sterling was reportedly riding his motorcycle recklessly back on September 11th of 2016. In May, the D.C. Police Trial Board recommended firing Traynor. Traynor appealed that decision, saying the panel unfairly judged his case. Police Chief Peter Newsham made the final decision to fire Traynor. It is finally warm and sunny here in the Washington area, but for folks with breathing issues from asthma to allergies and other challenges, the heat can mean lowered air quality.
So really pushing folks to use our mobile app to constantly monitor where there are hazardous air quality days, days where you can do little things to help improve the air quality in your homes and in your neighborhood.
Ellis with Breathe Easy says small steps like filling up your gas tank in the evening, using public transportation, and keeping lights and electronics off when not in use can all help. China says it's going to retaliate against any move by the U.S. to impose punishing tariffs on tens of billions of dollars on Chinese goods.
Everything from soybeans to American beef, certain cars, smaller airplanes, types of fruits, a wide-ranging list that China is using to really make maximum impact both economically and politically.
Correspondent Matt Rivers. A massive fire swept through early today in Scotland, a blaze through the Glasgow School of Art. For the second time in 4 years, the alarm spread to adjoining buildings. It took more than 120 firefighters to put out that blaze. Thankfully, no one injured. Caps fever continues, and yesterday, kids at the pediatric cancer unit at MedStar Georgetown University Hospital got to take their picture with Alex Ovechkin and the Stanley Cup.
All the kids here are rocking the red. Michael's wearing a jersey signed by the entire Caps team.
I got here, actually, because I was inpatient 2 years ago, and then the whole team come.
He was in the hospital being treated for bone cancer then. Now his cancer's in remission, and he got to meet one of his heroes for a second time.
So it was amazing to get this opportunity to meet him again, and of course with the Stanley Cup this time, it's just wonderful.
Owner Ted Leonsis.
I wanted to make sure that every single kid got to touch the cup and get a picture taken with Alex, and I think we met that goal.
At Georgetown University Hospital, Heather Curtis on WMAL and WMAL.com.
In sports, Nats lose to the Blue Jays 6-5. The Orioles shut out by the Marlins 2-0. World Cup underway in Russia, France battling Australia right now. At the U.S. Open, some of the golf's biggest names did not make the cut. Jordan Spieth, Rory McIlroy, and Tiger Woods. He was 10 over par. WMAL traffic and weather next.
Now you can listen to WMAL at home, at work, or anywhere in the world on your Amazon Echo device. For one-time setup, say Alexa, enable WMAL skill. Once that's done, whenever you want to listen, simply say Alexa, play WMAL. More details at WMAL.com.
If you're the one in your family that's always checking the value of your home online, you just love real estate, and you love to hear about the law, financing, investment, market timing, economics, and more, then I want you to join me. Hey, I'm Eric Stewart, the host of Pointing You Home every Sunday morning here at 8 a.m. on WMAL. You can listen then or listen on our podcast at ericstewartgroup.com. That's ericstewartgroup.com. And I look forward to seeing you Sunday morning, 8 o'clock, right here on WMAL.
Attention homeowners. Do you have mountains of debt and feel like your payments aren't making a dent? Our friends at Network Capital help their clients save on their debt payments an average of $528 a month. That's over $6,300 a year, which could also improve your FICO scores. Imagine what you could do with an extra $528 a month. Network Capital can make it all possible, and they can make it fast and easy. Call 800-700-8068. 800-700-8068. Network Capital Funding. Mortgage possible.
It's 7:05 on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL. Traffic and weather. Here's James Stanley in the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center.
A couple of problems this morning on the Beltway already. We'll start on the outer loop right at Georgia Avenue over to about Connecticut. Three left lanes taken out. That's a construction project. Beltway Interloop just past Ritchie Marlboro Road. Now, we've got an accident through there. A couple of lanes are taken out through Maryland on southbound 301. Right around Central Avenue, we've got a crash reported. That is causing some onlooker delays primarily. And in Virginia, Edsall Road, both directions around Timber Forest. Crash reported, slowing things down. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
We have a glorious day ahead. Warm, mostly sunny, low humidity, high 88. Tonight, partly cloudy, a few showers possible after midnight, down to 69. Sunday, partly cloudy, more humid, high 90 degrees for Father's Day, increasing afternoon clouds. Right now, it is 55 in Gainesville with bright sunshine, 57 and sunny in Hyattsville, 65 at Reagan National. I'm Barbara Britt on 105.9 FM and AM 630, Washington's Mall, WMAL.
Are you a small business owner in need of cash to fund payroll, buy new equipment, or expand your business? Has your local bank turned you down? Have you been told no when you really need to hear yes? Get cash to run your business right now. Just call Strategic Funding and get a yes today. Call 800-221-4990. That's 800-221-4990. If you've been in business for at least 1 year, have annual revenue of $150,000 or more, Strategic Funding can provide you with up to $500,000. Our unique financing service will get you the cash you want with flexible payment plans personalized to fit your specific needs. Call now, 800-221-4990. That's 800-221-4990. Growing your business just got a whole lot easier with a Strategic Funding approval in as little as 1 day. For a free no-obligation quote, call 800-221-4990.
Hi, Mary Walter here. Our friend Mark Levin has been nominated for induction into the National Radio Hall of Fame, and you can help him win. Winners are selected during a two-week voting campaign now through June 18th. So if you're a Mark Levin fan, please vote now. Vote online by logging onto RadioVote.com or vote by text. Simply dial 96000 on your mobile phone and then text the message 500 to cast your vote for Mark. Check out WMAL.com for more info. Now let's vote Mark into the National Radio Hall of Fame.
The following 60 seconds of stress-free listening is brought to you by Commonwealth One Federal Credit Union, home of the stress-free auto loan. Yeah, getting a car loan can really mess with your stress. But hey, Commonwealth's been decompressing auto loans for years. They're flexible, with no payments for the first 90 days. They're mellow, with loan terms spread out up to 7 years. And they're so affordable. Just finance your auto loan using Commonwealth One's online buying service powered by TrueCar and get rates as low as 1.49%. To apply, go to cofcu.org/auto. That's cofcu.org/auto. Why get all strazzled applying for an auto loan? Just go to Commonwealth One and be totally chill. APR based on applicant's credit and may vary. Loan qualifications and restrictions apply. Federally insured by NCUA. Equal opportunity lender. Membership eligibility required. Go to cofcu.org/auto for details.
Now, the Saturday morning update. 105.9 FM. At AM 630.
It is the Saturday morning update on WMAL. It is the summertime, but it seems as though the revolution per minute of spinning heads in Washington gets faster and faster and faster, and another wild week in Washington in the news cycle. And to help sort it out for us, John Gizzi is the White House correspondent and chief political columnist at Newsmax.com. John, good morning. Great to have you with us.
Great to be here, and it's great to be well-rested after last week.
We'll start with a summit between North Korea's Kim Jong-un and President Trump. We've had 4 or 5 days to digest the outcome of the summit. From some of the punditry, it seems as though they expected Donald Trump to bring all of the nuclear warheads home with him and denuke the guy in the first 2 hours that he met him. Kim Jong-un has had decades of distrust for the United States and some progress apparently being made. But what is your take overall on the summit?
Every great journey begins with a small step. And certainly Donald Trump didn't come home with nuclear weapons, and Kim Jong-un did not go back to Pyongyang and start dismantling his nuclear arsenal. They issued a communique in which they agreed that denuclearization was indeed a good goal. they would work toward. Now, one can say that going back to 1994, when the grandson of Kim Jong-un indicated his country was not going nuclear to former President Jimmy Carter, that there's a long history of North Korea dabbling with the concept of denuclearization and then never keeping its word. But at least in this statement, there's a sense of hope that's out there. I might add that the president talked about eventually pulling all the troops in South Korea home. This is a key to our defense and to an ending of the Korean War, which had an armistice in 1953, but has never formally had an ending. So there's a lot of different things that could come out of this conference. Is there anything hard now? No, not exactly. And I might add that one of the president's closest friends on the world stage, Prime Minister Shinzo Abe of Japan, was clearly not enamored with the idea that troops and U.S. forces in that part of the Pacific are coming home. My guess is that this is Act One, in which will be a much longer and drawn-out drama. Stay tuned.
John, one thing that hasn't been mentioned much this week in the criticism of the president and the outcome of the summit is that Mike Pompeo, the Secretary of State, reiterated later in the week that we will not be lifting the economic sanctions until North Korea has demonstrated complete denuclearization. But that's not a story that's been reported very much.
No, it isn't. None of the sanctions were lifted. And the president did raise the issue of human rights violations as well as the return of the remnants of American servicemen killed in the Korean War. None of these things has happened yet. But in the end, the United States gave nothing to North Korea. And certainly Secretary Pompeo's promise that no sanctions will be lifted show we mean business.
Let's fast forward to Thursday, John. The Inspector General's report comes out. Peter Strzok does not look good in that Inspector General's report. James Comey does not look good in that report. You've covered investigations for decades, John. What do you see in this one that's different?
Well, it certainly does not serve as a recruitment poster for the FBI, let's put it that way. Not the FBI as it was under James Comey. Look, in 500 pages, it concluded that the director's behavior bordered on insubordination, that he was operating clearly on his own in dealing with investigations that involved candidates in 2016, and probably worst of all, that the culture of the FBI is toxic. That's not the exact words in the report, but that's roughly the conclusion. Hence, the news conference within hours after the IG's report became public and current director Christopher Wray submitting to the press. For his part, James Comey is saying while he does not agree with the report, he is glad it is out in the public and he hopes it leads to reforms. The president, of course, claimed an immediate victory over the former FBI director that he calls, and I quote, slimy. Quote, unquote. My guess is that this will cheer the president's supporters. It will keep Jim Comey off the lecture and talk show circuit, and it will lead to some calls for reform of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, and it's over with.
John, the president Friday morning walks out of the White House and apparently spontaneously ventures onto Fox and Friends. They're set up on the north lawn of the White House. Does an interview on Fox and Friends, is then surrounded by all of the TV newsies who are on the north lawn of the White House doing their morning stand-ups, spends a total of 51 minutes with the media. Impromptu, spontaneous, and he covered everything.
He certainly did, and I think what's most dramatic is his refusal to answer the question of whether he dictated the letter on behalf of his son, Donald Jr., to his attorney at the time. And he said, it's not important in the long run. And then he went into his now familiar mantra about it being a witch hunt. The president did indeed cover a lot of ground at this point. And he defended himself and claimed victory with the IG's report, and also said that he would like to move on beyond his present state of being under fire from political enemies and those he opposes in the press.
John, a number of the reporters were saying how unique it was for the president to do all of this just spontaneously off the cuff. How does that shore up with history?
Well, presidents over the years have had plenty of discussions with reporters. Franklin Roosevelt, we know, was famous for bringing reporters in his private train car, sometimes in the living quarters of the White House, and telling them things and saying, this is off the record. He was a notorious leaker. Bill Clinton, more recently, would call up editors at night to talk to them. But as far as putting one's name and owning a conversation with a reporter, Donald Trump indeed sets an historic level. Few do it in these impromptu settings, such as when he's getting up in the morning. Few would do it on a talk show on television, and few would cover the gamut of subjects that the president engaged with. So I would say up to a point, it is historic.
Tuesday primaries, one victim, Mark Sanford of South Carolina. And your thoughts on the end of his congressional career, at least for now?
By way of disclosure, I've known Mark Sanford for 24 years, ever since he came out of nowhere to win nomination and election to Congress from South Carolina's 1st District. I had many friends who, after he went on to the governorship, felt the White House was the next step in a lightning political career. And then in 2009, it was all reduced to ashes. After obfuscating and saying he was going along the Appalachian Trail, the governor of South Carolina tearfully admitted an extramarital affair in Argentina, and he and his wife Jenny separated. He ended any semblance of a presidential campaign, left office, and faded into obscurity. That was in 2010. Within a short time, he was back in the political scene when his old congressional district opened up and he won it, claiming he'd been sorry for previous acts and he'd been given redemption. On Tuesday, Mark Sanford's second political life came to an abrupt end when he lost the Republican primary to State Representative Katie Arrington. She broadly hinted at his past affair, but most of all focused on the fact that Mark Sanford has been and is a never-Trumper who's broken with the president on several key measures and never even voiced a word of support for him when he was running against Hillary Clinton. That resonated among First District Republicans, and the cherry atop the cake was the president's Election Day tweet saying Katie Arrington deserved the vote of the people and Mark Sanford would be better off in Argentina. Again, a reminder of the past indiscretion that cost him his first political life. Mark Sanford was someone who was unique. He brought a libertarian perspective to Congress and to being governor, but he never quite connected with people and made the friends one needs to secure a congressional seat. He was a loner, and in the end, when someone took him on, a loner doesn't have a lot of allies to depend on. Mark Sanford didn't, and that's why he lost.
John Gizzi, White House correspondent, chief political columnist at Newsmax.com. As always, John, great to have you with us.
Great to be here, and tomorrow, if you're a father, if your father's living, if your father's not living, just remember Dad. I plan to do that, because the first thing I'm going to do when I get up is call my own father, Al Gizzi, 97 years old and going strong. Happy Father's Day, Dad, and a happy Father's Day to dads everywhere.
Well stated, John Gizzi. 7:19, Saturday Morning Update, WMAL. Quick check of the traffic and weather, and then we'll have a little bit of a sample of what happened on the North Lawn at the White House yesterday. That's next. James, what's going on?
Hey, Rick, thank you. And, yeah, a couple of problems since we spoke last time. From the Adid Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center checking the roads, we've got some slowdowns reported on the inner loop. This is right past Ritchie Marlboro at exit 13. There's an accident there blocking a couple of lanes. They're working now, going to get pushed over to the shoulder. The outer loop between Georgia to about Connecticut, three left lanes taken out. That's a road construction project. Maryland southbound on 301 around Central Avenue. We've got a crash reported, couple of lanes reportedly taken out through that area. And Edsall through Virginia, both directions around Timber Forest blocked with an accident. Could be some injuries. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
Partly cloudy today, high 88. Mostly cloudy for Father's Day, high 89. Monday looks cloudy, up to 94, and back up to 94 on Tuesday. Right now in Washington, 63. We're heading to 88, 7:21, Saturday Morning Update.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
So this is how the Associated Press casts what happened yesterday. President Donald Trump gives few news conferences, and when one came Friday, it was sudden, unexpected, and chaotic. President walked to the portion of the White House lawn that reporters frequently use to give stand-up shots and gave an interview with Steve Doocy on Fox and Friends, his favorite morning show. When the Doocy interview ended, Trump talked to other reporters. Reporters who hadn't made it to the lawn before the Fox interview were shut out since the Secret Service closed off access when the president walked out of the White House. When he got off Fox and Friends, he was surrounded by the newsies, and here's what it sounded like.
Can you tell us about Americans?
All right, that goes on for like another 10 seconds, but you get the idea, right? Well, he did get one question here. We just wanted to give you a little sample of it. This is when he was talking about North Korea and Kim Jong-un.
You're fair, which most of you aren't, but if you're fair, when I came in, people thought we were probably going to war with North Korea. If we did,
quiet.
If we did, millions of people would have been killed. I don't mean like, people saying 100,000. Seoul has 28 million people 30 miles off the border. You would have had 30, 40, 50 million people killed. Who knows what would have happened? I came in, that was what I inherited.
You see how she cut him off? The guy's mid-sentence, and she's cutting him off, getting into a debate with him. Unbelievable. But it was amazing, and if you didn't see that, you should check out a podcast somewhere, that event. It was 51 minutes of spontaneous Trump on the North Lawn of the White House.
So your doctor says you need an MRI. Granted, it's a marvel of science and modern medicine, but hardly a convenient or comfortable prospect. Listen, are you going to submit to the discomfort of being run through a tube? Put your foot down, put 2 feet down, and experience the most revolutionary way to have an MRI anywhere. Washington Open MRI now has the world's first high-field strength, upright, weight-bearing open MRI with lower out-of-pocket costs for you. Choose Washington Open MRI at 1-866-MRI-ASAP. That's 1-866-MRI-ASAP. Is your will updated? And do you have a good basic estate plan in place so your family is protected, just in case? Listen this Saturday morning at 9 on WMAL to Legally Speaking, where attorney Mike Collins will answer any question you may have about wills or estate planning. That's Legally Speaking, Saturday at 9. To learn more, log on to WMAL.com and search Legally Speaking. That's WMAL.com. Search Legally Speaking.
There are places you visit and places you behold, full of natural wonders that beckon with the promise of a feeling you haven't felt in a long time. A feeling you're in the right place, immersed in a moment you never want to end. It's here in West Virginia, from lush rolling hills to quiet streams and unexpected adventures. A place full of mystery and endless fascination. A place that's almost heaven. Find your version of heaven at WVTourism.com.
Larry O'Connor here with real stories from real people who picked up the phone and called Debbie and Sarah Reynolds with Keller Williams Realty to work for them. Recently, Debbie and Sarah Reynolds sold Larry and Stephanie's home for 100% of their asking price before it even hit the market. Larry and Stephanie were absolutely amazed at the process and the fact that Debbie and Sarah already had the buyers, over 5,000 buyers in their exclusive database. Larry and Stephanie couldn't believe how stress-free their transaction was, and they encourage anyone who's selling their home to call the Reynolds team. They said, if you want to sell, call Debbie and Sarah because they have what you need. Buyers. Take it from Larry, Stephanie, well, and this Larry, Larry O'Connor. Don't settle for just any realtor when you can hire the team that sells a home every 5 hours. Call the Reynolds team, Debbie and Sarah Reynolds, 844-344-SOLD. That's 844-344-SOLD, or visit DebbieHasTheBuyers.com. Once again, for Sarah and Debbie Reynolds, that's DebbieHasTheBuyers.com.
Great things happen when people use the cloud to work together. At McAfee, we build advanced cybersecurity from device to cloud so organizations are empowered to invent life-saving cures, smarter investment models, and cleaner energy. Without protected technology, these innovations might never happen. We support fearless innovators who are making our world a better place. McAfee, the device to cloud cybersecurity company.
A successful retirement isn't defined by money. It's about confidence. Join Abe and Shelley Abish for the Retirement Keys Saturday afternoon at 2 here on WMAL.
And visit retirementkeyradio.com.
This is Dr. Tom Rozelle. After 38 years of practice and almost a million patient visits, the Rozelle Center for Healing knows what works and knows how you can take control of your health and wellness. My team of doctors practice 21st century integrative medicine. Whether you suffer from chronic pain and fatigue, allergies, or headaches, we can help. Take charge of your health before it's too late. Make an appointment today. Call 703-698-7117 or visit online at rozellecare.com. That's rozellecare.com.
At the Rozelle Center for Healing, we care about your health and want to help you take your health in a new direction, far from drugs and surgery. Knowledge is the key to optimal wellness and control of your health. We offer free health education on chronic health conditions and natural integrative medicine treatments. Attend Understanding Hormone Management through Acupuncture on Wednesday, June 20th at 7 p.m. Space is limited, so register today. Call 703-698-7117 or visit rozellecare.com. That's rozellecare.com.
You like a good fit. We get it. Your best running shoes, your lucky cap, your favorite pair of jeans, your favorite things feel made for you. Your education should, too. University of Maryland University College was founded more than 70 years ago to serve working adults and the military. Today, we continue that tradition by offering frequent start dates and online learning so you can get started on your schedule. By recognizing your accomplishments with credits you can earn for what you already know, with no SAT or GRE required for most programs, and by providing no-cost online resources, replacing most textbooks and financial aid options for those who qualify. Because a college education can work for your wallet, too. Start earning a degree today from a respected state university that's always a great fit for hardworking adults like you. University of Maryland University College. State University, global campus. Made for you. Start learning today at umuc.edu/radio. Certified to operate in Virginia by Chev.
There are some things you can count on. Like that one friend who's happy to see you every time you come home. Or that one song, the one that gives you goosebumps, guaranteed. Or earning a great rate on your savings.
Simply open a 13-month CD from Citibank with a $25,000 minimum deposit and you'll lock in a 2% annual percentage yield. That's a guaranteed return you can count on. Visit a Citibank branch to apply today. Citi, welcome what's next. Terms and conditions apply.
It is 7:28. It is the Saturday morning update on WMAL. We're going to take a break for the 7:30 news. And we are back with Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer and Cheryl Atkinson. Obviously, we'll be talking about the IG report and the North Korea summit. Stay with us.
Do you have three ex-wives and your current trophy wife wants a life insurance policy three times the size of the policies you had to purchase for your previous mistakes? If so, you need to call Big Lou at Term Provider, 800-777-1225. Big Lou is intimately familiar with your problems, and if you're 50 or 60 years old and in reasonably good health, a $1 million policy should only cost about $100 to $200 per month. Big Lou may have a solution for your previous policies as well. You may even save enough money to lighten the load on your new $1 million policy. Remember, call Big Lou. He's like you, except he's only on number two. Call Term Provider at 800-777-1225. That's 800-777-1225. For $1 million in term life insurance that you can live with, call Big Lou at 800-777-1225. 800-777-1225.
If you're the one in your family that's always checking the value of your home online, you just love real estate, and you love to hear about the law, financing, investment, market timing, economics, and more, then I want you to join me. Hey, I'm Eric Stewart, the host of Pointing You Home every Sunday morning here at 8 a.m. on WMAL. You can listen then or listen on our podcast at ericstewartgroup.com. That's ericstewartgroup.com. And I look forward to seeing you Sunday morning, 8 o'clock, right here on WMAL.
WMAL-FM Woodbridge, WMAL Washington.
105.9 FM and AM 630. WMAL Washington.
A Cumulus station.
Where Washington comes to talk. News. Now.
WMAL News at 7:30. I'm Barbara Britt. Montgomery County fire units had their hands full with a fire late yesterday on South Lawn Drive.
Georgetown paper stock recycling plant.
Pete Perringer with Montgomery County Fire and Rescue.
First arriving units encountered pretty heavy fire conditions, smoke conditions.
Inspectors are expected on the scene today. Maryland Governor Larry Hogan asking for a presidential disaster declaration for Maryland after last month's heavy rainfall and flooding. Hogan has announced the U.S. Small Business Administration has approved his request for low-interest loans for businesses, homeowners, and renters in Frederick. An American pilot who crashed on a Pacific island during World War II has finally been laid to rest at Arlington National Cemetery. Second Lieutenant Robert Cohen was flying a P-38 aircraft that went down in New Guinea back in 1944. Relatives never knew what happened to him until November. That's when genetic testing confirmed that remains found on the island years ago were his. Cohen was buried on Friday with full honors. Take a second look when shopping at the grocery store this weekend. U.S. health officials have a long list of recalled foods, including Kellogg's Honey Smack cereals. That's due to a salmonella outbreak. Forget the Del Monte veggie trays after 78 people were sickened in several Midwestern towns. And the FDA is warning against cut melons or fruit salads mixed with melon after 60 people in 23 states were sickened. In sports, Nats fall to the Blue Jays 6-5. O's lose to the Marlins 2-0. WMAL traffic and weather next.
Is your summer schedule already jam-packed? Don't waste a minute circling the block looking for parking. From a day at the office to a day at the beach, find your parking spot with Spot Hero. Simply download the app, type in your destination, and Spot Hero will show you the closest parking spots nearby. With a few taps on your phone, you can reserve and pay for your spot. This summer, save time and money wherever you're headed. Take $10 off your first spot with promo code FAST. That's promo code FAST. Spot Hero.
Hey, it's Larry O'Connor. Now that summer's here, there's nothing more peaceful than falling asleep to the sounds of nature. Until you start to hear the snoring from your bed partner, that's not peaceful. Snoring is often caused by sleep apnea. That's a dangerous condition where you stop breathing during the night. Most people try CPAP first, but studies show about half of the people given a CPAP machine don't actually use it. If you or your partner can't get relief from CPAP, now there's a silent, mask-free treatment option. It's called Inspire. Inspire works inside your body by delivering mild stimulation throughout the night to keep your airway open. Inspire is FDA approved and offered at over 150 leading medical centers across the country. Join the growing number of people treating their sleep apnea with Inspire. Visit inspiresleep.com to learn more, review important safety information, and to find a doctor right here in the greater Washington area who can help determine if Inspire is right for you. The freedom to sleep like everyone else is just a click away at inspiresleep.com. That's inspiresleep.com.
It's 7:33 on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL. Traffic and weather. Here's James Stanley in the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center.
Watch for a little road work this morning out on the Beltway, the outer loop right around Georgia Avenue over to about Connecticut. Three left lanes are going to be blocked from this. This is a rolling closure. They've worked their way up to that point. The Beltway inner loop right around Little River Turnpike. Getting word we've got an incident that just cleared in the last few minutes. It's over on the right shoulder now. Just a little onlooker delay reported. Here in the district, festival happening 11th Street Northwest, both directions from Kenyon to about Park is shut down. You'll see the cones, though. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
We have a beautiful Saturday. Sunny, low humidity, high 88. Tonight, partly cloudy. A few showers possible after midnight down to 69. sunshine. Tomorrow for your Father's Day, partly cloudy, more humid, high 90. There is a chance of an afternoon shower. Right now it's 67 at Reagan National. I'm Barbara Britt on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
If you're ready to buy your first home,
a bigger home, or a better home, but still saving for the down payment, you need NASA Federal. Yeah, that NASA. With NASA Federal's LaunchPad Home Loan, there's no down payment and no monthly private mortgage insurance. You could save thousands with zero down and zero PMI. With that big down payment out of the way, you're practically cleared for launch. Oh, and you don't have to work at NASA to get the LaunchPad Home Loan. You just need to call 855-361-NASA or visit nasafcu.com/361. That's 855-361-NASA or nasafcu.com/361. And with rates on the rise, now's the perfect time to spring into action. Get your new home with zero down, zero PMI, and a little help from NASA Federal. That's smart. NASA smart. For more information, call 1-855-361-NASA or click nasafcu.com/361. Equal housing lender. Offer valid on approved credit for primary residences. Membership eligibility required. NMLS number 486583.
7:36, it is the Saturday morning update on WMAL. Great to have you with us. We are joined by Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, CIA trained intel operative. And Tony is also the advising producer on the National Geographic Channel's Chain of Command. Tony, it is great to have you with us this morning.
Hey, Rick, always good to be on. Thank you.
Let's talk about the North Korea summit. We've had a few days to digest and ingest the results. And I'm just so surprised that the media and the Democrats were expecting, I guess, for Donald Trump to come home with a signed denuclearization plan and the verification to have begun and the inspectors to have started before Trump got on the plane.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing to see both the fact that there was, I think, an over abundance of like, why didn't you do X, Y, Z? The fact is this, it takes time to build a relationship. And these people,
we had no relationship, none at all.
That's right, you know. So we're talking about a hostile power for, you know, since 1950, trying to walk them down, de-escalate, and bring them into the world community.
All right, Tony, I don't want to interrupt you. I hate to interrupt you, but to put it in perspective, for somebody that's listening this morning, you take Kim Jong-un, he's had, two generations before him who have conditioned him as a child and as he grew into his formative years to take over his country, have conditioned him to fear the United States, to feel that we are his biggest threat and that we're going to destroy him. So
right.
we have to walk that back, and you don't do that in 2 hours.
Right, and then related to that directly is the idea now that not only we're not going to destroy you, you got to give up all your stuff. You know, you got to turn it in. So this is going to take some time to build up. Now, the good news is Un was educated in Europe. So I think he has an understanding better than most about who we really are as a nation. With that said, below him, to your point, there are generations of military officers who have only been taught to be aggressive, to be prepared to fight the United States because of everything they've been told. So I think it was underreported that a few weeks ago, Un fired a bunch of his senior staff, who I believe, based on what I read, were not getting the message about trying to open the door between us and them. So it's going to take some time on their side as well to purge some of those who are not going to be willing to come to the table and negotiate. So this is a process. It's going to take time. Reykjavik, the meeting at Reykjavik between Reagan and Gorbachev, where they made some final decisions on our nuclear weapons forces, didn't happen, you know, in one day. It took years to get to that point. And we're talking years here, too. So we can't have too high expectations beyond having essentially established the relationship and move forward in a positive way.
President Trump sharply criticized for postponing or canceling the military exercises that were planned for August. And everybody said, well, he's stopping the exercises. No, I believe the terminology was suspended. And
right.
He said suspended as long as we are making progress. Again,
right.
This was totally blown out of proportion. And I can just – Trump has got to work this guy. Trump has got to, you know, get this guy to understand that we're not out to kill him. And when you've got military exercises going on at the same time you're trying to defuse the whole thing, I can see where that might be problematic.
Yeah, look, it's a suspension, as you mentioned, Rick. And I mean, it's amazing, again, to see the president cannot win. He didn't say we're canceling them. He didn't say we're giving in. He said, hey, we're going to suspend this as long as we see that these guys are acting in good faith. I mean, I saw groups, even groups I normally admire, like there's a Pentagon budget group, where they were actually trying to figure out how it's going to be more expensive to not do the exercises. It's kind of like, come on, what are you talking about here? There's a practical reason for doing this. So we've really got to look at this for what it is. People on the left just are going to refuse to see anything good come from anything a president does, and it's really sad. But this is necessary, Rick. We're going to have to do things in good faith, back and forth. It's a de-escalation process, and again, I think we have the right people in charge to do that.
All right. I want to turn to the Inspector General's report.
Yeah.
The general media and, of course, the Democrats and those on the left are attempting to play down the IG report. And to me, this is huge. I mean, this is a big deal. And we all have our ways to interpret it. What are the key points that stand out to you in the Inspector General's report on the email investigation into Hillary Clinton's server?
Well, the first thing, Rick, based on my own experience, is people ought to read the entire report. You will see that the executive summary and the opening bullets don't match the content. The conclusion of no political bias is completely insane, especially when you think about the fact that Christopher Wray, the director, is putting in place training to make sure they don't do political bias. Completely insane. Secondly, the agents themselves, the texts which are contained in this, show that bias. I mean, when you're calling Hillary Clinton the president, when you're talking about interviewing her before the election, that's kind of bias, you know? I mean, and they weren't talking about her being president of the Lollipop Guild either, you know? I mean, this is where it's pretty clear what they were talking about. And then, one of those texts being so direct where, the agent, I think it was Strzok, actually promises his mistress, Paige, that they're going to prevent Trump from being president. I don't know how you get any more blatant than that. And this is the kicker, Rick. They did an analysis, and they figured out that the FBI is in contact with all these members of the press, I guess trading access for tickets to the Redskins. And most importantly, when they did the investigation of the Hillary Clinton server, it showed that a guy named Barack Obama, the president, was knowledgeable of the server. And that is huge by the fact that he denied in public statements that he had any knowledge of her server. So to me, not only is this serious, we're talking about a dozen different directions subsequent investigations must go to continue the process of accountability.
Well, you look at General Flynn, who is stuck in this charge of lying to the FBI when reportedly some of the people who actually did the interview felt that he didn't lie.
Right.
So you've got him in the pinch there, and how much he's spending in legal fees, and he's looking at possibly a sentence. And then you look at Peter Strzok and all this stuff he's pulled, and there are four other senior officials at the FBI that are singled out in the IG report.
Right.
And so far, they're not in hot water yet, at least.
Well, I think it's going to come. I mean, this is one of those things that cannot stand. I don't believe President Trump for a minute is going to allow this to kind of just fester because of the very thing you just said. Mike Flynn said that I don't believe he lied, but there's other cases where in one of the texts that was released, the FBI agents knew that Hillary Clinton's staff, when they were asked about the server, lied to their face, and they actually were laughing about it. So you cannot sustain a republic with this level of duality of accountability. You cannot have one group who gives passes to a political party that they want, they like, and will attack vigorously lording with intention to mope as the other standard on the other side. It cannot be done. So I think that we're going to see more investigations come out of this.
Don't you know the law? If you're a Republican and you lie, you get busted. If you're a Democrat and you lie, everybody looks the other way.
And they give you your own island or something.
Oh, yeah, man.
Quite different.
I know there was an interesting discussion. John Brennan comments to Chuck Todd about briefing Mitch McConnell on the Russian threat. Tell us the story about this. It happened before the election.
Yeah, this is interesting. It just popped up, and NBC kind of put it out there about this interview with Chuck Todd and former director of CIA, John Brennan. So John Brennan was relating to Chuck about a meeting, a briefing he'd give to the Senate Majority Leader McConnell before the election about the Russia meddling. And surprisingly enough, you know, well, NBC's response is, well, it was a political response. McConnell's response was, I don't think I believe you. I'm skeptical of the Russia meddling. And this is prior to the November election. So, you know, Mitch McConnell may be many things to many people, but apparently his antenna were spot up. And, of course, John Brennan says, well, you must trust me. I'm not lying to you. It's like, the guy who lies constantly for a living. But it's notable by the fact, Rick, that, you know, McConnell was actually on to the fact that there may not be something quite right about the whole Russia thing. And clearly, you know, now they're putting it out there and they're trying to explain it as political. I explain it as, hey, McConnell's been around this town long enough to know John Brennan. And John Brennan was clearly setting people up before the election on this Russian narrative.
Yeah, we got about 30 seconds left, Tony. Sure. I just wanted you to quickly tell us the details on the Pakistan drone strike. We took out a Taliban leader, the significance there.
Yeah, this guy has been one of the primary targets we've been trying to get. He has been the stick in the mud, so to speak, of opening up a final negotiated process of ending the war with the Taliban. And very quickly, the Taliban are not the Al-Qaeda guys. They're local rebels. They're not good guys, but they're going to be there. So the ultimate end of the Afghan conflict is going to come from essentially a negotiated settlement, reconciliation between the Taliban and the Afghan government. And this is a big step forward.
Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, and, of course, he is the author of Operation Dark Heart. Tony, as always, thank you so much.
Sure. Hey, thanks, Rick. Take care.
You bet. Traffic and weather next. Then we're back with Cheryl Atkinson on the Saturday Morning Update. James Stanley is in the traffic center.
Rick, thank you. And from the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center, checking the roads this morning. That's construction out on the outer loop between Georgia to about Connecticut. Three left lanes taken out. Straight to the right, you'll be able to get through there. The inner loop right around Little River Turnpike. An accident cleared just a few minutes ago. Had a little bit of a backup. It is starting to unwind. In Maryland, southbound on 301 right around Central Avenue, we're seeing there's an accident through there to watch for. Could slow you down just a little bit. Watch for the brake lights, if nothing else. And lots of fun happening in Manassas starting this morning. The big jazz festival happens. Several streets in the area shut down till about 8 o'clock tonight, including Prince William Street between Liberty over to about Main. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
We're looking cloudy for the weekend. High 88 today. Father's Day high 89. We'll be in the 90s on Monday and Tuesday with lots of sunshine, up to 94 both days. Outside in Washington, 66. We're heading to 88, 747.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
This is the Saturday Morning Update. It is great to have you with us. I'm Rick Fowler. We are joined by Cheryl Atkinson. Of course, she is the host of Full Measure. It's every Sunday morning, 10 o'clock on ABC7, also throughout the day on News Channel 8. Cheryl, it is great to have you with us as always.
Thank you for having me.
Thursday, we see the report from the Inspector General on activities at the FBI over the past several years. Headline in the Washington Post, Inspector General blasts Comey and also says others at FBI showed, quote, willingness to take official action to hurt Trump. That's the headline in the Washington Post. It's a 500-page report. I know you haven't had time to go through all 500 pages, but what are your initial reactions to the IG report?
Well, you know, it cannot be understated to me how important that is. Along the lines of the themes that I've been talking about, are intel agencies being used or using their official capacity for political purposes? That right there, according to the IG, is what he sees as proof positive of that from a high-ranking FBI official. That's huge. I mean, that's akin to the IRS alleged weaponization of its intel tools to use against political opponents. So this is huge news.
And not only did it impact the investigation of Hillary Clinton, but then you also have the Russia investigation and Peter Strzok, who is singled out in so much of this information, was in a key position in both of those investigations initially.
You know, I don't think you can extricate the Robert Mueller special counsel investigation from the rest of this mess simply because we now know there was misbehavior at fairly widespread at fairly high levels within the FBI. I think this goes to the CIA and so on, which hasn't been touched yet. But Mueller is colleagues of these people. He's friends with Comey and colleagues of Comey. He knows and employed some of these people when he was FBI director. The notion that he can somehow, you know, as great a guy as he may be and as fair as he may be, that he can neutrally arbitrate circumstances that so cross over into one another and get so messed up with one another and intertwined, I think is unrealistic. It's hard to imagine that this is still going on. And I was speaking with an investigator on the Hill, and we were talking about when Strzok and Page, the two FBI agents, one's a lawyer, one's an agent, were removed from the special counsel's investigation because it was found out they'd sent these outrageously biased text messages, including one that was withheld from Congress that said they were going to stop Trump. When they were pulled off the special counsel's investigation, to me and to others I've spoken to, that whole investigation is tainted. You can't remove them and somehow carve out the bias that was created by having them in that special counsel probe in the first place. That whole thing has to be wiped out, it seems to me. But I haven't heard anybody suggest that. So, you know, I'm alone with a few others who have talked about this sort of behind the scenes. I have heard no official suggestion of that, but I think that's an important point.
Well, I would suggest it because I question what information was provided initially in the Russia investigation by Strzok, knowing now of his bias, and we've seen this over the months, but what did he do to set this in a certain direction before he was removed? What information did he maybe not include in things? What did he put in there that was a stretch? I mean, there are a lot of questions about this.
Well, I'm going to look for, you know, from the time that Strzok said, we will stop Trump, or we will find a way to stop him from becoming president. From that time forward, I'm going to look for the actions he took that appear to be him consummating that promise, whether it was, you know, at the very end becoming part of the special counsel Mueller probe, or in the interim looking for the insurance policy and taking other steps. I think it'll be interesting to watch him. And again, he was a high-level FBI official who did not act in a vacuum. As much as maybe some people say, well, only a couple of people are implicated here, that implies an entire mood and environment within certain corners of the FBI. It's not just happening in isolation with one or two agents.
Well, one of the quotes from the report is, we found that the conduct of five FBI employees brought discredit to themselves, sowed doubt about the FBI's handling of the mid-year investigation, and impacted the reputation of the FBI. That is a quote from the Inspector General's report. You mentioned the Peter Strzok text where he talks about stopping Trump. Well, for the thousands of Strzok texts that have come out over recent months, this is the first we've seen it, so a significant delay there. What about the redacted information? And I know you've written an opinion piece, just came out Thursday at thehill.com. The headline, Senate probes FBI's heavy-handed use of redactions to obstruct congressional investigators. That is a strong headline.
You know, this is a government-wide problem that's been going on for decades, and I think it's getting worse. Improper redactions are blocking out of information on public documents or public government documents that we're entitled to see because we own them, by the way. But the government treats them as their property, and they are caught very often redacting or taking out information not for national security reasons. There are limited reasons they're allowed to redact or block out information from us in Congress. But because it's embarrassing or because it reveals wrongdoing on their part, that's against the law. They're not allowed to redact material for that reason. But it's so common, and we find this out through court when, you know, documents ultimately come out in unredacted versions sometimes. We find out about it, but nobody's ever punished. And, you know, it kind of irks me as a journalist. This has happened to me when I've requested documents. It's happened to members of Congress and staff and investigative committees. Well, finally, Homeland Security, head of Homeland Security Senator Ron Johnson, is writing the FBI and specifically asking who has been redacting documents that he's had access to where he can see improper redactions. And he's asking the FBI Director Christopher Wray, as of this past week, who's responsible for it? Why? You know, who's going to be held accountable when incorrect and improper redactions are made to hide information from Congress and the public?
I can understand that they may want to hold that information back from the public for national security, but what about these members of these committees who do meet in secret and are supposedly able to hold this in confidence? This information is also redacted from them as well, isn't it?
That's part of the outrage, yes. And, you know, Congress has allowed it. You know, they've allowed terms to be placed upon them by the federal agencies. This is Democrats and Republicans under different administrations. For example, when they want to review documents that really are public in nature, you know, that we find out later, they'll be told, well, first of all, you can't, even though they have clearances on these committees where they're allowed to view some of them top secret information. But they'll be told instead, you can come to our offices in a specific room between certain hours and come and look at them with one of our minders watching you. You can't take copies. You can't take notes on a computer. You can scribble down some handwritten notes and leave. And, again, I think that's outrageous that a federal agency is telling the oversight, the constitutional oversight body, that they can't see stuff or dictating terms under which they can review them, you know, on a basis that's really, to me, not reasonable. It simply hampers their oversight duty. And through these viewings that they're allowed to have, they can see the redactions in some cases, if they get to see more of the documents in that setting, that the redactions were improper. And there's not much they can do about it because they don't have the documents in hand. So, you know, Senator Johnson, like I said, he's writing a letter and trying to get answers. He said he hasn't gotten a response to the first couple of letters he wrote to the Department of Justice and FBI, but he's still trying.
Well, it's an interesting article. It's at thehill.com. The headline, Senate probes FBI's heavy-handed use of redactions to obstruct congressional investigators. I should mention that in 2015, you filed a suit against the U.S. Department of Justice for illegal surveillance, in which the suit alleges the Obama administration had hacked your computers while you were reporting on the Benghazi attacks, Fast and Furious, and Obamacare. There is an administrative claim for illegal wiretapping in that suit. There's been some action on it as of this past Thursday. What's the very latest in that suit that was filed in 2015?
Well, this has gone on and on with the federal government, Department of Justice, obstructing us every step of the way, spending taxpayer money rather than apologizing because our forensics are irrefutable. You know, they simply are arguing that we cannot sue government officials for what they did in their official capacity. And they are actually correct about that there is some case law that heavily protects government officials for bad acts that they do. But we are appealing, you know, to keep our case going. We've just appealed to the Fourth Circuit. My attorney, who, by the way, is a big devoted Democrat attorney, who says this is what happened to me, the worst thing he's ever seen the government do to anybody. So he's pursuing this case out of the goodness of his heart, as well as my forensics people and a constitutional attorney we've just hired and some sources from intel agencies all helping because they think this is so important, not because it's me, because that's not important, but the fact that this could happen to a journalist and was done to a journalist and the government, the implications of the government doing this, weaponizing itself to use like that are so important. So we're pursuing our case. The unfortunate thing is it is hard to sue the government, and they hold the keys to the answer to the question of who personality-wise was responsible for this. And as long as they're not going to tell you, it's really hard to get the information, but we're continuing onward.
We'll want you to keep us posted in the weeks and months ahead as the case continues. Cheryl, I want to congratulate you on Full Measure. I mean, you're up well over 100 affiliates around the country now. And on the show tomorrow, you're presenting a roundtable discussion looking back on some of your most important stories as you see them. One neat thing about Full Measure is that you will cover stories that you won't see in other major media outlets. I mean, you've spent a lot of time with some of the rogue congressmen who are exposing the way things go in politics on the Hill and the fundraising that I don't think the parties really want exposed, and that's just one example of the type of story you cover.
Yeah, I mean, it was fun looking back at what we've done in this past season with our correspondents, including several key interviews with members of Congress talking candidly like I've never seen them talk before on camera about the swamp, how Democrats and Republicans alike dictate terms and require fundraising and will not let the non-compliant members of Congress achieve certain committees, will run other candidates against them if they don't cooperate with votes and fundraising for special interests and corporations. We talked about MRI safety. We broke a story about gadolinium dye that's used in MRIs, the dangers and risks associated with that the FDI is only now officially acknowledging, although they've known something of it for quite some time. So anyway, we're looking back at a lot of our stories, our travels to the Philippines and Southeast Asia and Korea. So I hope people will watch and enjoy the clips and hearing from some of our correspondents on some of the behind-the-scenes goings-on of our season.
Full Measure, that's tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock, ABC 7, and on News Channel 8 throughout the day. As always, Cheryl, thank you so much, and thank you for your courageous reporting. I mean, it takes a lot of guts to do what you do.
Well, thank you for having me on, because if there's no one listening, it doesn't matter much. So I really appreciate you giving us an audience for that on these Saturdays.
And that's going to wrap it up for the Saturday morning update. A happy Father's Day. Garden Sense follows the news.
Spring is positively bursting with color at Potomac Petals and Plants. Now on sale in their garden center. Buy three and get one free on any perennials. With new varieties arriving daily, visit Potomac Petals and Plants on River Road, Washington's premier flower, garden, and gift store.
WMAL-FM Woodbridge, WMAL Washington.
105.9 FM and AM 630. WMAL Washington. A Cumulus station. Where Washington comes to talk.